This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. With me, as always, from ESPN West Palm, he is Brian Rowitz. And catch him on ESPN 1000 down in Chicago. He is Jonathan Hood. Plenty of things to dive into. Had SummerSlam. A lot of other things as AEW continues to build toward the two pay-per-views they have. One at the end of the month and then the very next weekend at the beginning of the month. So a lot of things going on in the professional world of professional wrestling. So we dive in where we had two. Both these guys were able to successfully defend their championships on Sunday night. CM Punk, the real world's champion in AEW, defending against Ricky Starks on Collision. And Seth freaking Rollins able to retain the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Finn Balor, despite a lot of shenanigans that happened at the end of that match at SummerSlam. But what do we think is going to have a more satisfying ending? What's going to have a better potential payoff? This world title run for Seth Rollins or for CM Punk?
I think it's Seth Rollins, and here's why. I'm going to go with what Broet said a week or two ago regarding CM Punk and whether or not he's wrestling too much. Yes, this is an old borrowed storyline from Ric Flair with him being the real world champion and X right over the championship. Okay, so I'm just trying to figure out what the payoff is. Does this mean that Ricky Starks eventually is going to win that real world title? How does MJF really get involved with this? It's such a malaise in AEW as far as all of these different storylines that have not connected yet. They have not paid off yet. So I think at the end of the day for me, bro, is I think a better potential payoff might be Rollins. Now, who he loses it to, I don't know, but we just got a kind of inkling on Raw that Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins might have something to say. Might have something to say. Maybe a match at some point.
Yeah, so that's the thing. I'm thinking about the end as well, and I'm hoping it's not Cody because, you know, that's not his story, and he's got to finish the story. Like, the end with Rollins, I don't see it being Nakamura, but at least we're seeing Nakamura in a main event, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. Damian Priest potentially as a world champion getting a push, that's exciting. Like, I think that title has the potential to make a new star. WWE doesn't do a very good job at making those, so this could be a chance. But Punk, what is the end result? Because it has to end with MJF. It has to be a title for title. In that situation, MJF has to go over, and MJF doesn't really need that. Like, he's so over right now by playing dodgeball at trampoline parks. Does he really need another win over CM Punk?
Yeah, they're going to unify those titles, though, right? Like, you're right. That's how CM Punk's end is going to come, is some sort of title unification with whoever ends up winning the championship. And I'm not convinced that Adam Cole's walking. I think Adam Cole's got a chance of walking out of Wembley as the champion. If they're going to be pulling double duty, I just see the potential for that turn. You know, does Adam Cole?
But does he drop it a week later?
Cole?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm guessing,
like, right back in Chicago, they do the rematch, you know, MJF's the face this time, and they do it that way.
So Punk gets his own title match in Chicago, and he's able to win in Chicago? I'm not sure. I'm not sure if AEW's put all the pieces together. I haven't put all the pieces together quite yet either. I see a lot of different routes they can go because, again, you've got two pay-per-views, back-to-back weekends that they've got to figure out and fill and somehow make both of them their own and unique. When it comes to Seth Rollins, I'm not going to lie, I really hope it's Shinsuke because I have been a big fan of Shinsuke. And his brief opportunity in the main event spotlight of WWE when he won the Royal Rumble and then had that shit match against AJ Styles at WrestleMania, like, I've just been itching for Shinsuke to be able to have something that he can grab onto. And hopefully this is it. I doubt it. I see him as just being another stepping stone if they're pushing off Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes and they want that to happen at Royal Rumble, if they want that to happen at Survivor Series. They're trying to more or less waste time so they can eventually set up those two for one of their pillar pay-per-views. But I'm rooting for Shinsuke just because I think he's deserved better than what he's gotten in his WWE run over the last 7-8 years at this point now. But my guess is, yes, Seth Rollins is going to have a more satisfying ending just because we know that Punk's is ending with a unification that he's not going to win, and they're going to unify that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, from the CM Punk side, it's just too many things. Like, this storyline can't go on with CM Punk and Ricky Starks or the Real World Championship until MJF has something to say about it. So it hasn't even started for me yet. Like, we're just still we're still in the starting blocks with this. MJF is a champion. He still has not addressed it. It's been a couple weeks now. So it's like, to me, it's a non-starter. Okay, he's a Real World Champion on Collision. Okay, so so by the way, in a lot of ways, AEW kind of emblematic of what WWE does. You got two champions on two different shows, don't you? You got MJF kind of
thing. Which is fine.
Yeah, I mean, there's really one champion in AEW. I mean, this whole thing where he pulls a championship out of his bag and put an X on it doesn't make him champion. But he does make a good point. It is a good story. But again, until MJF says something, it doesn't make any sense. With Nakamura, it's what Gabe said. It's a contenders match. It gives Rollins someone new to wrestle. Nakamura, if this was New Japan Nakamura, I'd be so excited. Mm-hmm. We've never seen the best of Nakamura in WWE. We've seen him be an entertainer, but we have not seen him be the guy that was a bloodthirsty killer like he was in New Japan. Not even close to it. I mean, this is a vacation for him now. Right. You know, so
we've seen good stuff in NXT though. Yeah. When he was black and yellow, like him and Sammy.
Yeah. But this is
him and Rude, like that was great stuff in NXT.
This is him at one-third speed though. Like I've seen a lot better from him. This is retirement Shinsuke. This is.
I don't know. I mean, I guess he hasn't spent. I guess I'm just hopeful that this semi-heel turn. I guess. I mean, he worked double on Monday Night Raw, and you know he mentioned how he wanted to blaze his own path to Byron Saxton in the back right before he went out there to wrestle in the main event, and then Kinshasa's, you know, Seth Rollins. I guess I'm hoping maybe because of, you know, the song that came out that used his, you know, that WWE looking for that, okay, he's a little bit more mainstream because his song made it into the mainstream, that maybe he gets a little bit more of a push here and actually has a chance against Seth Rollins.
Well, to that point about actually having a shot, like, yes, it'd be awesome if Shinsuke actually wins it. The flip side, I don't think it makes sense storyline-wise, but if at Wembley Samoa Joe beats CM Punk and he becomes the Real World Champion, like, does that get you going?
Yeah. Yes.
For someone to be the Real World Champion, like, the only way this makes sense to me, the only way this entire thing makes sense to me with CM Punk is for CM Punk to have it unified with somebody else, with whoever it happens to be the actual world champion. Yes. Like him losing it to Starks, which I would think that their feud is over, but probably not, since Starks attacked Steamboat after the match on Collision. So I'm guessing that's another way to extend the feud between Starks and Punk. But I have a hard time, like, okay, so how is Samoa Joe now the Real World Champion? Because Punk got suspended, he was never beat, but then he was beat. It just becomes too it's a little convoluted, but still a good story. It becomes really convoluted, like once people start losing their championship multiple times and you start passing it around as the Real World Championship.
Well, aside from the Real World Championship, Joe and Punk is a longtime rivalry.
Yes.
And because in that Owen Hart tournament, you know, Samoa Joe was not satisfied with the roll-up loss that he had. Mm-hmm. So now he wants to get his comeuppance. And I think that match, God, I mean, 20 years ago, I paid for that in suburban Chicago. I saw that in ROH. It was amazing. I saw the match, and I think all three of us saw the match for the Owen Hart. And it was good. It was solid. It was good.
Yeah.
Is it noteworthy enough to put it high on that card at all in? Maybe. But here's the thing about Samoa Joe, which is interesting. So he's trying his best to be a heel, but he's so respected. He gets cheered everywhere.
Everyone loves Joe.
I mean, it's amazing, right? He's not going after us as fans, but he is a badass. And like, he's like, all right, I'm a heel, but you guys keep cheering me everywhere I go. You know, what does he say? I'm the champion of TV. What does he say?
He's the one true king of television. Like the way he says television, like, again, this is how much of a badass Samoa Joe is. Just the way he says television. Like, Cho's gonna kill you. Yeah, everybody loves Samoa Joe.
How about this, bro? How about this? That matchup takes place, the crowd will be 75% for Samoa Joe.
Oh, 100%. And I think it's a middle of the card match. like you have to try and figure out where to put it, but like those two are going to deliver on that stage. Like those guys have worked that match in front of 80 people. They're going to work it in front of 80,000 and they're going to show why they deserve it. But that could be a big moment for Joe. Like Joe getting a win there, because he hasn't had that big moment yet in AEW.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a couple. You know, he was TNT champion briefly. That's where the whole one true king of television gimmick came from, because he was the ROH TV champ and TNT champ simultaneously. But yeah, if he beat CM Punk at Wembley, that would be the biggest moment of his career. I guess I'm not sure if the real world's championship is actually going to be on the line. I guess we have to wait.
Like
to see
I said, it makes
CM
no
Punk.
Sense storyline wise, yeah. But it could be pretty cool.
And who did Joe beat for that TNT championship? It was who?
Wardlow,
who was in a deep depression after losing it a couple times. Did you read this?
No.
Yeah. He said it. He's been on a panel. It says that like being on TV is what feeds him.
He's been in a deep depression since losing the championship. And that's a shoot.
Yeah. And not being on TV. He mentioned that specifically also.
All you got to do is just tell the boss, can I get on ROH? Can I get some shots up? I think that's pretty much what it is. Like,
we got 7 hours of TV between AEW and ROH. We can't get Wardlow on TV anywhere?
Well, what have we said as a show? If you're a big guy, you don't get a chance. Women and big guys. you don't get a chance in this company, right? How many times have we talked about this? Like, I mean, somebody like in the chat will give us like an example, but I'm talking about, you know, from Lance Archer to Powerhouse Hobbs. Is he on TV?
Brian Cage.
Like, pinfall after pinfall. Just looking up at the lights. Him? Like, okay, so he and Big Bill were in a really good match against FTR. All right, but still, they're losing. They're not over.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen Big Bill win in AEW. If Big Bill's coming out as your tag team partner, bad things are going to happen to you.
And the Battle Royal does not count, by the way. I know someone's going to say Battle Royal does not count. It just, you know, again, here's what happens, bro. It's you have your company and you're just buying wrestlers so they won't go to Vince in WWE. Okay, now you have all these wrestlers. What do you do with them with this big roster?
Right.
Guys are sitting at home for months not getting a chance to get on TV. Crazy.
And the thing with Wardlow, he's the biggest example of like a missed opportunity. Like he was so damn over. I think back to the pay-per-view in Orlando. Like being there and hearing that reaction when he won the ring and he turned on MJF that night, that was the loudest pop of the night. And the MJF situation sort of cooled him down a little when you didn't know if they were going to have that match to open that pay-per-view. But total wasted opportunity with just like meaningless title runs.
I don't get it.
In terms of the question, I think we're all on the same page. I think the Rollins one's going to be more satisfying just because right now I'm guessing Punk wins his match against Samoa Joe and we see maybe a unification and that ends up being the plan at All Out in Chicago. But that all remains
to that point, then that has to be Cole as the heel because Punk will be a face in Chicago.
Well, I mean,
it's not going to be face Punk versus face MJF.
Well,
right?
I mean, somebody's turning on somebody at All In. I think I feel very comfortable in the fact that Better Than You, Bebe is going to be ending at the end of the month. It just whoever turns on who, the heel is coming out on top, and they'll get CM Punk in Chicago.
I just know one thing: I will cut off the TV if one of my favorite tag teams loses in the pre-show for All In. If my guys lose, I'm riding. They just won the championships, for God's sake.
Yes.
Come on now. Yeah, right, just for a gimmick? They can't drop those titles.
No, and that's I think that's I mean it's gonna be one of the most watched like 0 hours ever in AEW history because you're putting those two on it, and one of them's turning on the other during the tag team match. And they're setting it up perfectly for it to be Cole because again, he's told Roddy, hey, you gotta trust me. I know what I'm doing. Adam Cole tells MJF to start out there. MJF is crawling to the corner looking for that tag. And Adam Cole jumps down.
Okay.
That's
And so the faction's already ready, right? It's Cole, it's Roddy, and the other
it's
two.
It's the Kingdom.
David and Bennett. Oh, yeah, the Kingdom.
God, I can't stand them. It's like, I guess they'll be relevant. I just can't. I can't do it with them. So the Kingdom, Matt Taven, right? Matt Taven. Yep.
Uh-huh. Former ROH world champ.
Never been a fan. Hmm. Never got it. I'm just telling you the truth. Like, it's one of those guys, you just watching me like, I just don't get it. He might can work. He probably was a good worker. I think I've seen him plenty. I just don't get it. Maybe I'll get it now if they become a faction. We'll see.
There. So many other things going on in the world of professional wrestling. We like to call it our three count, the other top three stories. Brian, what do we have at number one this week?
Speaking of future stars, ESPN has released a list of their top 30 wrestlers under the age of 30. Who do you guys have as your top three under the age of 30?
So just on the ESPN list, I'll read off the top 10 just so everybody kind of knows. So MJF is one, Rhea Ripley two, Austin Theory was three, El Hijo del Vikingo was four, Dirty Dom was number five, Bron Breakker at six, Carmelo seven,
losing Gabe there a little bit. I got to finish the list. Seven, Carmelo Hayes.
Yes.
Eight, Takesha. Nine, Liv Morgan. 10, Logan Paul.
There's some on this list that I was surprised that were under 30. Were you?
Yes. Yes.
There's some
that... Leo Rush, under the age of 30. That was surprising. He was towards the back end.
He's been wrestling forever. He's under 30.
Yes.
What was he started when he was 11?
We've talked about on the show. Butch, under 30. He's lived a rough life, I guess.
Does not look 30.
No.
Looks 40.
Who are some of the... I guess those are the two that really stuck out as being surprisingly under 30.
Okay, so on my short list, I mean, MJF they have as number one. That is correct. I mean, AEW champion, yep. And he is wise beyond his years. I just think that he is the future of the business, being under 30 years of age. I can't turn a blind eye to Rhea Ripley. I've been a fan of hers when she was in NXT UK. That's when I first saw her. She has blossomed into something that's really special as a performer. And you know who else I didn't know that was under 30 was Toni Storm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Against someone who's been on our television for well over a decade, maybe 15 years. Toni Storm's on my list as well. I have an OLI as well. Outside looking in, I have an OLI. So I'm going with Gabe's guy, Vikingo. I wrote down Ilya Dragunov because that's a guy, I'm telling you, man. I mean, and also surprised that he's under 30. I thought he was a much older gentleman than that, the Russian. And Wheeler Yuta, I have written down as well. So I have,
both those guys are pretty low. Yuta was 20, Dragunov 26.
Yeah. So yeah. That's my list. Gabe, what's your top three? I gave you MJF, Rhea Ripley, Toni Storm, and I gave you an OLI. What do you like?
Yeah, so I like Rhea actually as my number one. I just knock MJF because of some of the issues that was just mentioned by Brian. Like, he had the whole issue of, is he going to show up to work? Like, that's got to count against you. Like, there have been never any questions about that with Rhea Ripley. Undeniably, MJF is a star. But when you decide to not show up to work for 8 months... Yeah, I've got some questions about whether or not you're going to be sticking around long term and whether you can be the absolute star of my company. I don't think there's any questions like that with Rhea. Of course, I'm going to have Vikingo at number three because he's my guy. He's the actual best wrestler in the world. Whether or not somebody's smart enough to build their entire promotion in the United States, obviously AAA doing a very good job of that since he's the AAA champion at this point. I was really surprised that Hook did not even make their honorable mention at the end.
Yeah.
Because Hook is only 24. He's been put in some pretty good spots in AEW, still young, still incredibly raw. He's one of those guys that would probably benefit from understandably that they're going away from it because they ended up getting the show on Saturday nights, but the House Rules tour, the entire reason, from my understanding, that Jeff Jarrett was hired by AEW in the first place is to run these house shows. I think he's somebody who would benefit from some sort of run on ROH where he's getting more ring work and he's just constantly going. Maybe gets, a manager. It gets a little bit more of a mouthpiece, or he's just the badass who never talks. I'm not quite sure, but there's something there with that young man. And I think he oozes charisma. Ultimately, I think he's going to go over Jungle Boy, who I have enjoyed during this heel run. You want to talk about growth, especially for somebody under 30. Jack Perry deserves, on the outside looking in on this one as well. It just kind of goes to show you that when you take a look at this list, I thought they had to stretch for some to kind of get to 30 under 30. Yeah. Wrestling is not in a great spot in terms of the young talents, I would say. Now, there's certainly hope. Again, I would mention Hook, in there that you have hopes for, but Bron Breakker at 6? I guess that's another one that I haven't understood the incredible hype around Bron Breakker at this point.
Well, I think there's a reason he hasn't been called up. Like, I don't think the WWE agrees with you on that they don't quite see it. Like, something's obviously missing there where he has sort of run his course in NXT. Like, oh, we should call him up. He's not quite ready yet. So I agree with you from that standpoint. I was also surprised, Jay, you talk about surprised about people under 30. Some of the people not on the list that are actually over 30. Bianca Belair, Wardlow, Swerve, all of them over the age of 30, apparently. Mm. Learned that while looking stuff up.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was surprised by that. But my top three, I agree, MJF and Rhea 1-2. I have Daniel Garcia at 3 because he, to me, has proven the last few months, like, we know what he can do as a wrestler, but by showing us what he can do as a sports entertainer, I think that makes him more well-rounded. And I know it's part of the gimmick and the dancing and stuff, but, like, it's working with the crowd. It would work under Vince. Like, I've been impressed by him and what he's done these last few months.
I need to see more of him handling himself on a microphone.
Okay.
Because I feel like most of it, last night was probably the longest promo he's had.
Right.
In front of a live crowd like that, maybe ever. And it was, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
You know, because most of the time, he's either been in the faction, he's fought, he's been able to lean on during the Jericho Bryan Danielson thing, Bryan Danielson being his hero and he wants to learn under Jericho, ends up going with Jericho. He was able to lean on those guys. And during this last little bit of run, it's been Sammy Guevara who's probably handled most of the talking in that tag team. So I'd like to see a little bit more growth out of Garcia on the microphone in terms of, really shooting him up and me thinking that he's even a top 5 guy at this point.
It's the problem with a lot of that roster in AEW. Right, like they can all go because they're indie wrestlers or wrestle in a small circuit and now on the big time. The promo is the whole thing. I mean, remember what Jack Perry was when he first came up? They could not find him in the back. Jack, it's your time. And they could not find him because he was deathly afraid. Now look at his progression as someone that you want to hear from. Smarmy heel, FTW champion. But it's all about growth and working with these young people to say, hey, we know that you can fly around and you can wrestle for 30 minutes and you can take all these bumps, but you got to be able to talk them in the building. And so that's one thing with a lot of these wrestlers where if their promo isn't good, well, look where they came from. They didn't have to be on the – they would come through a dark, as Broach would tell you, just some dark aisle, step into the ring for 30 minutes and then leave and never have to say anything.
After you peek your head through the curtain a little bit and then you make it happen.
And a lot of credit to Christian for helping Jack Perry through that. Like, in terms of wrestlers who have grown over the last 12 months, is there anyone who's grown more than Jack Perry?
Not in AEW, no. There's veterans in that locker room that still can't get on the mic. I heard A.R. Fox. I was just curious about A.R. Fox on Talk Is Jericho. Oh, man, Chris is just, he's penetrating with his questions. He's like, hey, so tell me about your background. Yeah, I was a stone cold rock guy. And, I did these moves. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, no wonder you just do all these moves. You can't talk at all. Now, he was on Dynamite the other night. Like, he spoke, but it was just 10 seconds, right?
It was
meaningful, but it was 10 seconds. I'm like, oh, wow.
There's a reason he's hanging out with Swerve. For the storyline. There's a reason he's hanging out with Swerve, because Swerve can handle himself. Which brings us to another guy, Nick Wayne.
Right. Tater 72 mentioned that, but I think he falls into that group like you were mentioning. Like, looking through this list, Nick Wayne, Bandido, Butch, like, they all can go, but can they go on the mic? I mean, Jamie Hayter even a little bit. Like, she struggled a little bit with the promos. Yeah. Like, there's something missing there on the mic, but we know what they can do in the ring.
You don't get to talk about Nick Wayne. Neitzel.
That's why I didn't. I asked the question. No. I served it up to you guys. No. You guys refused to bring him up, and somehow I'm the one bringing him up.
Yeah. Well, you don't get the chance to talk to him, so you don't talk about him. You won't watch the great matches that he's had. He saw him for the first time. It's so funny, bro. He sees him for the first time. It's like, boy, he wasn't very good. Well, guess what? He wrestled like a freaking teenager. That's why he wrestled like that. We've seen him in classics. No way he had a classic with all that. Like, yeah, we saw him in Portland with classics. So you don't get to talk about him. You don't get to talk about him. Yeah.
No, look.
You
look,
back I off.
Mean, it's not my fault you guys hyped him up by Chick-fil-A, and then by the time I finally saw him, he wasn't very good.
He wrestled like my a fault. Teenager. He was booked to wrestle that way. Stop it. Like, yeah. His first debut, he's supposed to wrestle like Kenny Omega?
Yeah.
As a teenager? No, that's not how wrestling works. No. No, he wrestled like...
Watch him on Rampage tomorrow night. That's what he'll bring it out, I'm sure.
And we'll lose.
Without a doubt.
Because, you know, to the masses, it's like, there's no way this is a prodigy. He can't even drive yet? Oh, no. But in Defy, yeah. Of course, he's having 30-minute classics. Like he's booked to wrestle like, I don't know, an 18-year-old. He's not supposed to get over at all.
That's true. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, you talk about the concern game, and, like, I agree. The one I will say, like, Carmelo Hayes, who came in at 7, the little I watch of NXT, I think he's one of those guys that has it. I don't know if he looks the way for Vince because, like, he's on the smaller side. But, like, I think there's something there that he can work with and he can eventually be a star.
I'll have to watch. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll have to take, you know, that's one I'm just going to have to take your word for it, I guess.
I mean.
Yeah, it's just, when I look up and down that list, when you start, I mean, the fact that Austin Theory is 3 made me very sad.
Yeah.
It made him sad.
It made me as sad as my guy Daddy Magic on the microphone last night. Like, just getting ready to cry. If Austin Theory is the future of professional wrestling, dear Lord.
Oh, yeah. Now we're right back into the toilet. Now we're into Cena. The Cena era. Like, I mean, if he's the future of the business, that's not good. It's not.
No. Like, I mean, he hasn't done anything. I mean, I thought he was supposed to have that match last week. Apparently now it's going to be this week for the U.S. title. We'll see if it continues to get pushed back. WWE's been very fluid with a lot of these plans, despite Triple H saying they didn't bump anything from the card, even though I'm pretty sure Becky Lynch and Trish said SummerSlam in some of their promos, but hey, who am I to, you know, push back against Hunter? But Austin Theory at 3, like, I see the potential there. It just hasn't. I mean, he's had a lot of opportunities to bring it out and make me care, and I have a hard time caring. Like, him at 3, there are so many, like, I know nothing about Carmelo Hayes. I would probably just put Carmelo Hayes above him right now because I've got a feeling that if I went over to NXT on Tuesday, I bet you Carmelo can make me care about him more than Austin Theory can make me care about him.
Yeah, and I know that people will hear this wrong, especially in Stanford that's watching the show. So let me make sure it's clear. We're not against the young man. We're against his creative because the creative is nil. It's just him out there with sunglasses and wrestling the same. So it's like that's on creative to do something with Austin Theory than what we've been seeing over the last 2 or 3 years. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
That's the 7th longest U.S. title reign ever. That man right there. You guys are knocking him.
I saw that too.
We're knocking him. You're not a part of that. You're pro Austin Theory. My bad. I didn't realize you were pro Austin Theory.
Oh. The guy's number 3 on this list. He deserves some credit for that.
It's amazing.
He just passed a Ric Flair record.
He got right out of the pot. Did not want to be part of it. It's unbelievable, this guy. It is unbelievable. He's with you, winner tie. He's Brian Rowan. That's who he is, everybody. So you want to turn this into a sports conversation? Let's do that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we talk about young wrestlers under 30. And, of course, every summer, as we wait for the NFL season to start, we always look at quarterback tiers, right? It's the best. Mike Sando has the best quarterback tiers list. I mean, that's the quintessential column I look forward to every year, the quarterback list. Okay. So when we go through that list, and I don't have the official list, but off the top of my head, it's like, you know, it starts with Patrick Mahomes, all right? And that's a guy that's under 30. So look, compare that to wrestling in this regard, right? So MJF or Rhea Ripley – or Vikingo. I mean, those who's the Patrick Mahomes of wrestling under 30? Is that MJF?
See, I would make case it could be both MJF and Rhea, which I think speaks well for men's and women's wrestling. They're both legit enough stars.
I would say it's Rhea. Okay. But again, I think I put Rhea at number one. Like, I just think she's got it all. Like, she's running. I mean, how many? So he does things. Patrick Mahomes does things that we've never seen on a football field before, right? Like, he's right. And Rhea is doing things that I don't think we've really ever seen before. We've seen female managers of like factions before, but Rhea's the undisputed leader of the second most popular faction in WWE. Like, she's the one trying to bring peace on Monday night between Finn Balor and Damian Priest. Like, she's the one she's the only one who gets cheered in that group. Like, everyone, you know, they were going through on the opening segment of Monday Night Raw. Of course, they boo Dirty Dom and, you know, they boo Senor Money in the Bank. But then Rhea lifts her title. Everybody cheers for her. Like, even though she's a heel and everybody knows that, they still... Like, she's associated with Dom, who they boo out of the building every night, and yet she's the one who's super over. I think it's, like, MJF is spectacular, but Rhea's doing things that we haven't seen women do before in professional wrestling in terms of her character work, and obviously she has it in the ring. Like, to me, she's the complete package.
Well, bro, it's when we talk about young wrestlers, and we look at that list and say, hey, maybe it's just top-heavy, but not a lot in the middle or the bottom. Just think about the quarterback list the same way, right? What we talk about, first for brevity, it's Mahomes, it's Josh Allen, it's Joe Burrow, it's Justin Herbert, it's Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Trevor Lawrence, guys like that, right? Well, just same like the quarterback list, it's top heavy with young stars, and then it's that big middle, the Kirk Cousins of the world, and then there's that young bottom where it's like all these guys are proven and unproven in like tier four. Does that make sense?
But to that point, though, like a lot of the names you mentioned at the top of the QB list, like they're young guys that we sort of see like, hey, this is the new face of the league, like the Josh Allens of the world. Yeah. I think you can count Lamar still sort of there. But to Gabe's original point, like when you look at this, like how many of these guys and girls do you look at and say, okay, they're going to main event WrestleMania one day? MJF, Rhea, and
Well, that stopped quickly.
Right. Like, I think that's the biggest concern right now, if you're like a wrestling standpoint.
Yeah, but at this, I guess when you think about it through the prism that Jay Hood just proposed, like there are new young quarterbacks coming into the league every year, you know, that are going to be backfilling that list, you know, especially when everybody wants to talk about in the NFL next year. Oh, man, next year's draft class, those top two quarterbacks and Caleb Williams and Drake May, you know, so like and they're going to be young people coming into wrestling all the time. And on top of that, like Aaron Rodgers is about to turn 40. Aaron Rodgers is in the top tier, but he's going to be gone soon. LA Knight is 40. And LA Knights, you know, like you can have a long career and sometimes take your time in terms of finding your footing in professional wrestling. So maybe not having just a stud, oh, this person's going to main event WrestleMania, this person's going to main event WrestleMania. Maybe that's kind of always been true because of how long some of these careers can actually be.
So Aaron Rodgers is AJ Styles.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's actually, I don't hate it.
And I think that they're similar, like, thoughts also on some things, I think.
Used to have similar hair.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers used to have that hair when he was, you know, younger in Green Bay. But
post 40, still can do it just like AJ Styles, just waiting for the opportunity. Yeah. So kind of the same thing. So I just look at that list and say, okay, these women and men are under 30. But I think that Broad's pretty hit it right. It's like, who's going to main event WrestleMania besides the top two?
No.
It ain't Vikingo, and it's not
Willow Yuta. No, I love Vikingo. He's never going to be in WWE.
So.
Like.
Yeah, I mean, some of the Perry's too small for WWE. Like, I mean, Dom, I don't know about main eventing, but, like, you can't ignore the reaction.
Dom.
Like, NXT ratings are going up with Dirty Dom on.
Dom is going to main event WrestleMania. This show will end. We will shut the doors on this show. Him, and it very well could happen in 5 years.
I was about to say,
Braun Breaker versus Dom, main eventing WrestleMania. There you
go. They could do a mixed tag match. Like if they find the right mixed tag group to like, because there's two nights of WrestleMania now. Like I could see him and Rhea if they find the right mixed tag partners, they could get a story hot enough because of those two that they could main event night one. They're never going to, I mean, Dom's not going to close down Mania.
Cody and Brandy. That's how Cody will get his Mania win in that match.
We're already there. Already got it. Well, turns out Jay Hood just quit the show. So we'll move on. What do we have at number two this week, Brian?
All right. Someone not under the age of 30 actually debuted on Raw 24 years. It was the debut of Y2J on Raw 24 years ago yesterday. So, guys, who is the best Chris Jericho character?
All right. So let's see if we can even – so you have Y2J.
There's a lot, yeah. Lionheart.
So Lionheart before that, Y2J, list of Jericho, the Ocho, the Painmaker,
the scarf. What do you call that one? Like the
Le Champion. Le Champion. That's the scarf one. Is okay. Le Champion. So that's six.
Light up jacket in WWE. Like, does that count as one?
Yeah, because he like wore the light up jacket and like didn't speak like right. after he made that one return. Which was kind of weird. I don't think that one's making it.
King of Reinvention.
No question. I have one that you haven't mentioned yet that's one of my favorites. I have a top three.
Well, okay.
So three is suit and tie Chris Jericho. The best in the world in what I do, Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Bockwinkle. That was the Nick Bockwinkle look. That's what he said he was trying to do. Like, because Nick is one of my childhood heroes from the AWA when he was champion. So he was the quiet, you know, cerebral suit and tie. I'm the best at what I do, guy. Lionheart is two. The Ocho's two, and Lionheart's one for me. That's the WCW. For those who don't know, that's WCW. Yeah, that's Lionheart WCW. Jericho. Yep, that's for me. I mean, he's been amazing. He's the Tom Brady of AEW. He is. Yeah. I mean, he's just been tremendous. And it's not one of these things where it's like, oh, I wish he'd go away, like Cena. Sort of like, oh, he just continues to reinvent, and I admire him for it.
Well, and the crazy part is as he reinvents, and as he went through it like 6 months ago or whatever it was, when he started wrestling as all the different characters that he's been in the past, and somehow made himself look younger when he came out as Lionheart, like that just, wait, how did you just pull this off where you're making yourself look literally 20 years younger as you're coming out as Lionheart? Like, that's amazing. I mean, as a kid of the Attitude Era, like, Y2J is always going to be my favorite. Like, his debut, and I know it ends up being this way with so many WWE debuts, you know, like, everybody, you know, oh, John Cena's debut, Ruthless Aggression, and then it took him 6 months to actually find footing. It was kind of the same thing with Jericho. He comes out, he goes toe-to-toe with The Rock. Just great promo battle between the two of them, and then he kind of is middling for a while before he really starts taking off and then ends up beating The Rock and Stone Cold both in the same night. Like, Y2J is always going to be my favorite version of Jericho. The first version of Jericho in AEW, I think Le Champion is the bubbly and everything that went with it. Like the way he was able to come in and be Chris Jericho that everybody recognized, but then evolve and like push forward and bring so many AEW people in and really help that thing launch from, I mean, not necessarily a mainstream, you know, perspective, but maybe the casual wrestling fan perspective that recognizes the name, but he's changed a little bit. I would say those are probably my top two, with the list of Jericho, which would be his run with Kevin Owens, probably being my third, because those two together were spectacular.
Dude, and Owens hated it, by the way. You see this interview? Did not like it. He thought another. Yes, he was like in an interview just recently. He said he thought the other shoe would drop. He never really enjoyed doing that list thing, which was hilarious to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there's just so many options. It looks like he's going down another path right now, like with the Don Callis stuff, where there's going to be another version of Jericho we see over the next few months. But like, just so many memorable moments, like. I purchased a bottle of the bubbly. I have a bottle at home. I don't know what I'm ever going to open or what I'm going to use it for, but I have a bottle of the bubbly. My wife wasn't happy about that, but I have it. So, like, about, like, the Y2J stuff, which is my favorite also, like, just some of the stuff he lists, like, the WCW stuff, like, the Dean Malenko thing, like, the Man of 1,000, you know, one holds. Like, there's so many things. I agree with the list, though. Right. The list was so damn good. Like, every time he clicked that pen, like, it meant so much. Like, that to me is just so memorable. And, like, it's crazy what one man's been able to do in an entire wrestling career.
Yeah, think about that. This guy is so good at professional wrestling, he got clicking a pen open. Like, he would hold it up there in anticipation, and you could hear the crowd building, you just made the list. Like, that's how good this man is at professional wrestling. He got clicking a pen over.
And that's why, like, the buildup to ultimately him being on KO's list, like, it was heartbreaking when, like, he's like, oh, I'm on this list. And, like, the end of that friendship, like, it was just perfect storytelling.
Yeah. And he puts it up, the list of KO. It right. was so good. So good. Which probably makes last night a little bit more disappointing now that we think about it. Like, the end of the Jericho Appreciation Society. I mean, I'm wearing the t-shirt because, you know, when Daddy Magic hurts, we all hurt. God. But it was, as a segment, especially to open up that show, it was a little underwhelming, was it not?
Just people just walking out on him. Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess the question is, like, what's more over, his song Judas or the whole group and the whole faction? I think the song's more over than anything mm-hmm. else, because who did you really make? Daniel Garcia, okay, you can make a case that, okay, he's in some good matches, but he's losing all the time. When does he ever get over? He was only that Ring of Honor champion just for a glimpse, for a little bit.
Yeah, the pure
champ. That doesn't work. I mean, so then you look at, like, Anna Jay in the main event floundering against Ishida last night. That wasn't good. You know, we don't see enough of Jake Hager. I mean, the hat was over. You love the purple hat. you know, and so with Sammy Guevara, so it's a mixed review on Sammy Guevara, isn't it, bro? It's
yeah, because I agree. I mean, you bring it up all the time, like with factions and teams, like you want to try and get other people over. And as they're all walking out the ring last night, there really isn't anyone that you look at and you're like, okay, well, we're going to see big things out of them. Like, it's more likely we don't see them on TV moving forward. Like, we just see them on Friday night. And yeah, Sammy's the one that there might be something there, but he might have peaked already. Like, he did the whole world title run. They had the four-way. And then it's just sort of been whatever since then. So, like, no one really got over. And even Jericho, like, I guess taking the losses to the Kingstons and the Action Andretti's, like, those were moments for those guys. But it didn't really grow him too much either.
I mean, yeah. The entire point, yeah, of the Jericho Appreciation Society was, you know, you didn't get 2.0 over. Right. They haven't been in anything. I mean, they haven't done anything meaningful in months, like barely even seeing them as part of the JAS until the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Anna Jay, like she was joined the, like both the women, like in, I understand Ty got pregnant. So, you know, she's been seen on television, but it's not like she can wrestle. But so Anna Jay wrestled on Rampage last week and then wrestled in the main event last night. I'm not even sure the last time I saw her on TV before that.
Right.
Probably on some random Rampage, right? Like,
correct.
But I haven't seen 2.0 wrestle in forever. Jake Hager's just kind of around with the hat. Like, the only two that had any potential to get over in this group other than Jericho were Sammy and Daniel Garcia. And you decided to have Don Callis hit Danny Garcia in the head with a bat last week. So I would say that this is the JAS has probably been the most disappointing part of his AEW career, and I don't know if it's particularly close.
And I think also when you put it side by side with the Inner Circle, because the Inner Circle like got Sammy to a next level, whereas mm-hmm. this he was sort of plateaued. And it also got Santana and Ortiz. Like, they were a dud when they first debuted. They were one of those like, oh, look who it is. And I was like, who is that? Like, what's going on here? Those two were very over. Like, they should have probably had a tag title run, and then ultimately injuries cost them. But it got those two over, which didn't really happen in the JAS.
Yeah, so the song's more over.
Oh, 100%. Like, it shouldn't have been a part of that group. Once he turned heel, that should not have been the entrance anymore.
Yeah, I would agree. So it's just a lot of young talent. I'm not saying the young talent's wasted. I like to know what they're going to do with them. Like, Daddy Magic is a gimmick, man. I mean, there's a guy there. He actually is a character babyface when you think about it. I mean, people know how crazy he is. That's kind of like who he is. I just you know, there's a lot of young talent, and you just can't get everybody over. I understand that. I'm not a child. I understand, like, all my favorites can't get over. But the point is, I was like, it's just a lot of young talent that's just waiting to get on TV and waiting to grow. And it's one of these things, once again, guys, where you have a number of veterans that are on top of the card, you know, the Young Bucks and the Hardys, and, you know, CM Punk and Samoa Joe's. Like, what about all these other, what about these other 50 talent that's, you know, 35 and younger, just trying to get over? What about them?
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw it out there. I know the crowd might disagree. Like, I'd rather see 2.0 in tag matches with the Bucks than the Hardys anymore.
Boy, that was tough. I mean, that matchup with the Young Bucks and the Hardys, it's like the Young Bucks slowed down for the Hardys. And I'm watching, I'm like, oh. Yes. Like, it was okay toward the end, but that thing should never be in the ring again. It's a nice little nostalgia match, but I watched it. And this is the second time we've seen this, guys?
Yeah.
Second time. It's the Hardys are sad at this point, but they get a big pop. Huge pop. Yeah,
they get a big pop. People still love Jeff. It's just tough to watch Matt move. Sad. At this point, I mean, that's that body's been through a lot of wrestling, you know, and not to take away anything that he's done in the past, but it's Jeff too.
It's, I mean, like, it's not good, and yeah, right. I just felt bad. It sounds harsh, but I did feel bad for the Young Bucks, because you know that they can, you know, go, but they slowed down for them so they can catch up the Hardys. Right. I'm like, oh, that's sad. Oh. But that's what it is. So I just want to just put a bow on and say I just really appreciate Chris Jericho. He's one of my favorites. I was there, Gabe, when he made his debut in Chicago. That was at the Rosemont Horizon. I was there for that. And so the
Rock. People anticipating it being Jericho?
Yeah, because you remember the countdown?
Yeah, clock? You had the countdown, but it wasn't to. But nobody knew what the countdown was to.
Well, unless you were smart. Right, unless you're smart to the business, like, we knew Jericho was coming because the dirt sheets was like, he's leaving WCW after all this time. What was the classic Rock line? It's like, you know, I'm supposed to be afraid of you. He's been wrestling down south against a guy named Juventud. I think that was the line, and that popped the crowd in Chicago. That was huge because there's a little shot at WCW at the time. So yeah, it's I'm always appreciative of Jericho. What's the matchup, though, for All In? That's the question. What's next? Who's he wrestling at All In? I mean,
I don't. Is it Sammy?
Does he join Callis?
Yes.
So you think the announcement? Sure. Because if not, then it's Takeshita.
Ooh, Jericho against
Kenny and Takeshita.
We're going to find out with a sit down with JR on Wednesday. JR will sit down with Kenny Omega.
That's the other part. You mentioned Kenny. You guys were dismissive, like, the Painmaker side. Like, I feel like the Painmaker and that Kenny match is one of the big reasons we have AEW today. And, like, that deserves some credit.
I think that I don't think that Gabe wants to see this, but it could be very well. Could be Jericho Osprey.
No.
He doesn't want that. Gabe.
We'll
be getting that.
And again, especially for a 50-year-old dude, like, Jericho can still go, but Ospreay would have to slow. Just what you were talking about with the Young Bucks. You're telling me Ospreay wouldn't have to slow down a little bit for Jericho?
A little bit, yes. But
Ospreay, I mean, not to the level of what we saw last night, but
yes,
it wouldn't be. It would be a shame to me if you can't unleash full Ospreay. If you get Ospreay for that show, give me full Ospreay, man. Like, yep. Give me something. Give me someone who can go with him. Give me Ospreay Omega 3, God damn it.
Hell, we don't even need a story. Like, I agree with you, Gabe. Give us full Ospreay on that stage. Give us Ospreay and Vikingo and just let them do 10 minutes of whatever they do. Like, that's we need for that show.
Iron Man match. Give him 60 minutes.
Let's go.
No, those are better matches. You're right. Yeah. Like, because Ospreay could probably half kill Jericho. Like, that whole thing he did to Omega with that big forearm. Oh my God. Yes. Like, he killed.
Hidden blade. Yeah. That's, I don't want to see 50-year-old Chris Jericho have to eat a blind forearm to the back of the head.
He's dead. He's dead. Jericho has died in the UK. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the match, Will Ospreay. Oh man.
So Yeah, if you get Ospreay for that show, to me, you have to unleash Ospreay, and you've got to give him someone. I mean, give him either one of the Lucha Brothers. Give him give him somebody who's going to be able to hang and let Ospreay. Because at this point, we're 3 weeks away. Like, you're not going to be able to build a meaningful story, and it's not like Ospreay was going to be there anyway. But Ospreay's there to put on a show inside the ring. Give him somebody who's going to be able to hang with him.
Roosh?
Oh, Lord.
No.
Bloodbath.
No, like, I don't. Why do you want? We just said we didn't want Jericho to die. I don't want Ospreay to tie.
I don't know if they would. They would kill each other. It would be wonderful.
Just.
Roosh? You understand this is a work, right?
Right. See? I mean, up a little.
I'm honestly disappointed that Roosh signed with AEW. I wanted to see him in WWE and go after the IC title. Him and Gunther just exchanging chops back and forth in the most physical match you've ever seen in your life.
Hey, Rush, just calm down. Could you imagine? Senior stuff, little too stiff. Could you imagine Triple H like, putting the half glasses on? Like, holy bleep! Like, oh man, oh no!
Somebody's got to tell him we're sports entertainers.
What is that, senor? What does that mean? I'm about to kill somebody. Why don't you go to UFC, Roosh? If you're just gonna be what are you doing in wrestling? Oh. There's no half stepping in Roosh.
No.
I love him on my TV.
He's got one gear. He's only got one gear. What do we got at number three, Brian?
All right. SummerSlam ended on Saturday night. Roman Reigns beating Jey Uso to retain the Undisputed title after interference from Jimmy Uso. A lot of complaints on social media. Has the Bloodline story run its course?
Hold on a second, Brian. Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right. Let Brian start. Every week there's something about this. I am tired of this question. Gabe and I are giving you great quotes, great stuff for TikTok and anything else. So apparently you're tired of it. Gabe and
check out the Twitter sphere. Like, go right ahead. What else do we need out of these guys? Like, we've seen enough. Yeah. Roman might be hurt. He's not advertised for the rest of the year. It was a hell of a story. They botched the ending. And everything since then has been sort of ho-hum. Like, why did Jimmy turn? Like, yeah, we're going to watch tomorrow. It's run its course. There comes a point in time when a TV show is like, you know what? We don't need another season of this. We've reached that point with the Bloodline.
There you go. A Cena-era wrestling fan right there. Story can't stand the story. Story's too long for you. He wants fast food instead of filet mignon. He's Brian Rowitz.
We've gotten how many years of this? Like, most factions don't last this long. Like, we've enjoyed it, and they screwed up the ending. They burnt the main course already when Sammy didn't win it, when Cody didn't win it. Now they're like, you want free dessert? I'm like, no, I don't. I want to go home.
The worst kind of wrestling fan. He likes his 13 pay-per-views a year. He wants his two-week storyline and move on. That's who he is, everybody. He's Brian Rowitz.
Done enough.
Thought you were more sophisticated than that, bro. It's it's just sad. That's all it is, you know? Like, I'll give you this.
Huh?
Saturday night was an overbooked mess. Like, I didn't mind the Jimmy part, but you didn't need everything before it. Like, okay. Like, if Jimmy just comes out and that's the thing, but it just seemed very convoluted at the end. And most of these things for the Bloodline end up being convoluted in schmazzy finishes, but the Solo and then, like, clearly Roman didn't spear you on purpose, Solo, and that whole thing, I didn't need it. But yes, Jimmy turning on Jey, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to hear why. My guess is they revisit Jimmy being always doubtful of Jey, being the being the tribal chief, being the right-hand man, being the next one in line. My guess is that's what they revisit. And I think you build to an Uso versus Uso. And, you know, maybe that's your new spinoff. You know, this is the Better Call Saul of the Breaking Bad universe.
But Roman's still a champ in that situation. Like, Breaking Bad's still on as you have your spinoff in that situation. Like, that's the issue.
I'm pretty sure Grateful Dead did, or Grateful Dead. Walking I'm pretty sure The Walking Dead did that, did they not?
Oh.
Yes.
Well, also, in WWE logic, there was supposed to be no outside interference in that match. That was part of Tribal Combat.
Which is, I mean... Okay, so for me, the tribal warfare match, which is
whatever we call it,
no disqualification is exactly what we knew it was going to be. It was no disqualification. That's what it was. All weapons, you know, count, all that. It wasn't even top three for me at SummerSlam.
No, it wasn't even
top three. And the reason why is because it's what we talked about in the preview show. Nobody in Detroit, nobody watching at home thought that Jey Uso could beat Roman Reigns. You know why? Because how you do it normally is you give Uso the opportunity to take on singles stars. He wins these singles matches, 4 or 5 week build into it. It's like, boy, he beat so-and-so, and he beat so-and-so, and it beat so-and-so clean. Maybe he has a chance against Roman. But if you haven't had any singles matches, how can I believe in you? You only base it on in a tag team match, you pin Roman. Okay, then what? Even the crowd wasn't sure. And if you watch the ebb and flow of the match, Roman cut Jey off so often that he only had momentum toward the end of the match.
Right.
So, but nobody believed that Jey Uso would ever be the tribal chief after that. So,
no.
And then it's the slow plotting Roman right now. Here's where Broitz is right. Every match is the same with Roman, right? Slow, plotting, methodical. Hey, man, carve out 45 minutes, especially with entrances, because here comes Roman. He's slower than The Undertaker coming down the ring, right? And then, of course, he's got to talk, even though there's no crowd mic for him to talk. It's not the pandemic. No one can hear you in the crowd. And he's still talking to his opponent. Like, so for me, Gabe, it's like it was not believable that mm-hmm. Jake even come close to this.
I mean, you can say it. Like, that match sucked. Like, maybe the Roman injury might have excused it, but, like, that match sucked on Saturday.
Wow.
What else are you getting out of this?
Like, but I guess – like, the whole storyline as a whole has been so good, I'm not going to get caught up in the moment of, okay, yes, Saturday sucked, but I still have faith in the storyline that it's going to be good going forward. Like, they've been so good in the past, they're allowed to have a misstep. You know, to bring it back to the sports conversation, like, Patrick Mahomes is so good, he loses one regular season game, you ain't doubting him the next week, right? Like, this storyline's been so damn good. One misstep isn't going to, and to your point, Jay Hood, like, I don't know if they just kind of thought that they'd be able to get away with what they did with Sammy, because Sammy didn't have any of those matches in the run-up either, right? Like, he turns on Roman, the next pay-per-view, it's his, like, first singles match in God knows how long, especially on a pay-per-view for Sammy, but because you were in Montreal, because of the way that you told the story, there were moments where you went, I mean, it's not happening, but... You know, there are a couple of moments within the match where the Montreal crowd and you sitting on your couch at home believe that, oh, crap, maybe Sammy might actually do this. And the same thing, I mean, they did it more traditionally with Cody winning the Rumble, building him up to get to Mania where you actually thought he would win. Yeah, they skipped a lot of steps there with Jey and it ended up not working in the end.
But in terms of, like, what's next, like, the rumors are in 3 months at Survivor Series, it's a fatal four-way. Does that excite you? Because Roman's not losing that match.
Who's in the four-way?
The four of them. So, Jey, Jimmy, Solo, and Roman.
No.
So that's the thing. Like, what else is there to do?
Well, as it is, it's Jimmy Uso, it's Roman, and Solo. And we're going to get a six-man tag team match with Jey, Sammy, and Kevin Owens. That's where we're headed, you know. That's where I feel like we're headed. And it's
assuming Kevin gets healthy at some point.
And Sammy also. Sammy's hurt now, too.
Got the bursa sack on the elbow.
Yeah, that was gruesome, man. Ugh.
But that was all because of J.D. McDonough. He did that.
Right.
So, of all people. so
the camera lingered a little too long in the bursa sack on the elbow for me on Monday night. I'm like, okay, we see it. We get it. Don't need to see any more of it. Move the camera elsewhere, please.
But typical Broitz, though. I mean, there you go, everybody. As Eric Collins says, Brian would not last as a fan back in the territory era. Yeah, because he couldn't stand for anything to cook. You're one of these sports entertainment guys or these independent guys.
Yeah. Like, with what's next, like when there's nothing next that excites you, you're agreeing. Like, it's been great. I've enjoyed it all. It's run its course.
There's more. There's more to come. There's more Samoans. They're on their way. More Samoans. Where in the hell is Rikishi? He's been threatening on Twitter. Would you come out now? Say something. You know, like where's the Fatu from MLW? Bring him out. There needs to be more Samoans involved. It can't just be these five guys. There's more. Does Tamina Snuka have a thought?
Heyman said it's in the bottom of the third. Like, that doesn't excite me. Like, he said it's the bottom of the third of this storyline.
He lied.
I mean, I saw you can't.
There's no pitch clock on this in Heyman's world.
At what point, in what world can you believe a word Paul Heyman says?
Yeah, he lied.
Because I think they're trying to get to Philly. Like, that's, I think they're like, well, this is the end. Cody will win next year. Or they're still holding out hope that Dwayne's there. Like, that's a lot of time until we're in Philadelphia for WrestleMania 40.
No, I'm not convinced that Cody's the one. I'm convinced, yeah, actually, that Cody's not the one. Cody ain't ending it.
I still don't think they that. Want Dwayne to be the guy. Even if it's the champion for a week, it's Dwayne that does it.
Well, if Dwayne was going to do it, it should have been this year during the SAG after strike.
Yeah, like, he has time now. Go do it. But he's not coming with Survivor Series or whatever. I don't even know the name of the shows in between then and now.
Payback.
There you go. Payback. That's when The Rock returns.
In Pittsburgh. It's like, because you got to have a Labor Day show, because AEW's got a Labor Day show. So you got to put it right there. Payback in Pittsburgh. Like, okay.
All right.
But I know, Brooks, you don't want to hear it, but this is where it's headed. Like, Cody Roman again in Philadelphia.
Like, it can't be Cody. If it ends up being Cody, then they should have ended it at this last Mania.
Well,
I think you got to move on. Yeah, I think you got to move on off of Cody. Cody's.
If it ain't Rock and it ain't Cody, who's getting hot between now and WrestleMania?
I think it's Rock.
And then what does he do with the title?
Retire.
He hands it over peacefully to Gunther. He's like, sir, I'm good. Here you go.
I don't want any of your chops. Here you are, sir. This belongs to you.
You know what? Make sure you clip that, Brian, because Gabe might be onto something. If Rock wins, it's like, I can't defend this thing, so I'm going to take this home and retire it. That's a great way to end it. You want to end it?
Yeah.
Actually, that's pretty smart. Like, that way, you don't have to worry about this anymore, right? Like, you retire the championship, it just goes away off of TV, and then whoever has Seth's belt is the heavyweight champion.
Yep.
You can do it that way. Sure. I think that's pretty smart, actually. That's one way to get rid of this nonsense.
It's a great way to end it, too.
I agree with that. That's good.
What do we got at News and Notes this week, Brian?
All right. Fightful Select reporting Bray Wyatt is getting closer to being cleared. Tentative plans are in place. They also add that the illness he's recovering from was both career and life-threatening.
I can't get any word on this. This has been airtight.
Yeah.
I can't. I've texted people, and I don't know the severity of the sickness for Bray Wyatt. All I know is we go back to last WrestleMania. He was there but did not perform. So I don't know how serious it is, but I'm glad he's going to be cleared soon.
Yeah. At this point, all you care about is the health of the person. It seems like he's healthy enough and working his way back. So that's especially if it was life-threatening, yikes.
Elsewhere in the WWE world, news coming out today, Triple H will not be on the new board, be one of the new board members for the TKO Endeavor once the Endeavor and WWE merger comes to be.
Surprising, is that not? Does that, it makes me feel like his job then as head of creative is not very safe.
No, I think that means that his job is only head of creative. Like, he won't have a say in anything else. Like, which is fine. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to deal with the mud of WWE.
But you can't feel good about that job security, can you?
I mean, it would help if you are a board member because you'd have a say and a vote. But he'd just be just the creative guy, which I think ultimately as a wrestler, and that's what he is. He's a pro wrestler. That's what he likes. But I think he likes the power, not just being in the room, but he likes the power of being in the room. So does that mean Kevin Dunn doesn't have a vote either with this Endeavor deal? Or does Stephanie's out? Vince, does he have a vote?
I mean, Vince is running the whole thing.
Well, there's Dana White and the others.
Wasn't Dana going to have to report to Vince? Like, that was part of the initial report, was it not? That whatever the new company was, that Vince was going to be the head of it.
Right. And remember when we had Flair on, we asked him about that, like Vince having to report to Dana, and Flair laughed us off that Vince won't have a boss. Like, this seems like it's going to go down a wonderful path once it eventually comes through.
Oh, you know what? Brandon Thurston for WrestleDomics has the list here. And it's some names that we don't know, but the names we do know is Nick Khan, Vince McMahon, Ari Emanuel, and Emanuel. Vince has to report to Ari Emanuel.
Right. He's the one that rented everything. Dana reports to him in the UFC.
there's other names on here, Mark Shapiro. But there's a lot of names that that we don't know. But if WWE has one more to a point to get to 11. That's what they're trying to get to. But Vince is on the top with Ari Emanuel, Nick Khan, and a few other names.
Wow.
We retweeted @TKW_wrestling.
We talked last week about the Elite re-signing with AEW. Wrestling Observer reporting the Young Bucks' new deal is the highest guarantee ever for a tag team professional wrestling. That's even more than Hall and Nash in WCW.
I mean, that's how you get those guys to sign as early as they did, right? Like, their deals ran through the end of the year, had plenty of time to make the decision. And I know there were a lot of reports out there about with Matt and Nick just saying, hey, you'd be surprised about how much we went back and forth. And like, we weren't aligned about where we wanted to be, but ultimately they decided to do the majority rules thing. And well, if you're getting the highest guarantee of all time, pretty easy to see why you would stick with AEW.
That is smart business by the Young Bucks because, as we said last week, big time money for very little work.
Yep.
Once every 2 weeks, maybe they're going to be in the ring. And when they're on pay-per-view, you know that they're going to be really good. And I'm interested in this matchup with them and FTR. Yep. Seems like FTR should win, but I don't know. But I just know when it's in the ring, it's going to be a banger. But smart business. I'd sign that deal if I don't have to work that hard. I do BTE. I wrestle once every couple of weeks. I do a couple of promos. I'm going back home to California. Awesome.
You mentioned that match. Finally, news and notes. Last week, we learned MJF, Adam Cole for the AEW World title at Wembley. We now have four more matches. FTR will defend the tag titles against the Young Bucks. Sheeta defends the women's title in a fatal four-way. Tony Storm will be a part of that. The other two will be either Britt Baker or The Bunny. And Saraya or Sky Blue. Guess who's going to win those matches?
Yeah, I've got a funny feeling who's going to win.
Yeah. And a couple tag team matches. Darby Allin and Sting take on Swerve and AR Fox in a coffin match. And on the pre-show, the ROH tag titles be in the line. Aussie Open defends against Better Than You, Bebe.
I mean, I guess the other one that's not official that we talked about early as well, but I can't imagine CM Punk says no to Samoa Joe.
I just don't understand why this pre-show is necessary to continue to tell the story. Why do you need MJF and Adam Cole to take on the ROH Tag Team Champions? Who are they? What do you say?
Aussie Open.
Why is that? Why do you need that to be able to tie that together? So they wrestle at the beginning of the show and at the end of the show. Why do you have to work so hard? Why do you have to do that? I just don't understand
I feel confused. Like, Gabe, you sort of hinted at it. Like, is that where the turn happens?
That's where the turn happens.
So I guess if there's a turn, it's like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to order the pay-per-view. Oh, now I'm going to order the pay-per-view. There's a turn. Now I got to see the match. Is that it? I guess.
Because, again, with those two being involved, it's usually when I order the pay-per-view, I don't watch Zero Hour. Don't pay attention to it much because you don't need to.
Right.
I'm going to have to this time because that's going to have a big implication of what's going to happen later in the night.
But, like, are you going to waste that turn on half a crowd? Because there ain't going to be 80,000 there an hour before the show. They're still going to be
trickling in again their beer. I don't know, man. It's the UK. They might be. I don't know, man. They're crazy over there.
There's bro. It's underestimating AEW. There's a WWE guy right there.
Yeah.
Who shows up that early?
Boy,
are you sure you don't want my Daddy Magic shirt? Because you are the epitome of sports entertainers.
Broads is so down on AEW, and they're going to get. They've already had more people than WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, I'm excited for that show. I love Saturdays. Dynamite's the last few weeks have been.
The Collision's a better show.
Oh, it is. House of Black for CMFTR this weekend. Hell yeah. Go.
And then next week on the lower third, is CM Punk wrestling too much?
I just want to throw it out there for everyone. I'm not agreeing. Again,
yes, he is again.
But man, I am pumped for that six man.
It's amazing. Is he wrestling too much? But you know, it's good to see him out there. So great.
What do you guys have as match of the week this week?
Well, this is complicated because there's a lot here. All right,
there's a lot.
I put on the old cheaters here because there's a lot I wrote down. Okay, so my favorite SummerSlam match was Brock and Cody.
Yep, 100% with you. 100% with you. I could not believe watching that how much I enjoyed it. I loved every second of it. And apparently, In the post press conference, Hunter said that Brock putting Cody over with the handshake and raising his hand was unplanned, that was just a Brock call.
He's doing his own thing. That's typical Brock, right?
Mm-hmm. Cody said he was afraid Brock was going to hit him.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Like, that's that. By the way, Brock Lesnar extends his hand. You should be wary that it's going to be a trap.
So I'll put SummerSlam to the side. That's my favorite match of SummerSlam. Now we get to the three. So I thought that Cody, Seth, and Shinsuke told a great story against the Judgment Day, which Shinsuke turns. I thought that RVD and Jack Perry told a great story because RVD, let me tell you something. You know, we talk about bringing wrestlers back to, you know, to get the young talent over. I have no problem with RVD coming to AEW every quarter to have a match. He could still go. That big leg drop he put on Jack Perry, where Jack Perry was over the barrier, that big log of a leg, he killed Jack Perry.
Good on Jack for just wearing that. My God.
Here's a match here that I know that's going to surprise everybody. This is right up Broitz's alley, but the match of the week is Best Friends against Blackpool Combat Club.
Yes, parking lot brawl. Let's go, Jay Hood.
Best friends in it. You've been very down on those two.
It was the match of the week. And so
you've got to give the people what they want.
It was so special in so many ways. First of all, Shivani comes back to play-by-play, and he's doing it with Paul White. And I'm like, what's going on here? He's calling it, right? They destroyed Sue's van. Okay, that was crazy. The Death Rider through the windshield by John Moxley. Like, what is going on here? Like, I just thought that was just amazing. That you're starting a fire. First of all, Chuck Taylor, he's over with me now because he's sucking gas, getting a hose, sucking the gas out so he can put gas on a barbed wire 2x4 and setting it on fire.
Yeah.
How nuts is that? Pretty good. Match of the week.
From Rampage. The match of the week is from Rampage.
I shockingly didn't have that one. Like, it was good, but Cody and Brock, I had RVD versus Jungle Boy. The other one I put, the Fatal 4-Way from Monday. Mm-hmm. The number one contender for the IC title, Chad Gable, Ciampa, Ricochet, Riddle. Just letting those four guys wrestle because, well, that's what they do. Like, that was a damn entertaining match.
Yeah, I mean, they had so many great like combinations of one move, then another wrestler came in to do a different move. Like just the way they constantly kept the action going into the Fatal 4-Way. I had that as my number two. Parking Lot was number one. Lesnar Rhodes was three. In honorable mention, I put RVD just because like there were a couple of times when RVD, you knew he wanted to stand on that top rope just a little bit longer, but I feel like the D on the RVD was as he was starting to fall, so he had to get into the five-star frog splash. But so there were, you know, a couple of things where, but again, for a guy that as old as he is, for him to still be able to pull out all the nostalgic spots and still be creative. I mean, one of the most creative offensive wrestling minds we think we've ever seen. And he was able to continue with some of that freedom in AEW. And also I enjoyed Drew and Gunther at SummerSlam. Just to quote Big E, it's just big meaty men slapping me. You know, like you get Gunther and just allow him to be physical with someone, like I'm entertained by it. So I decided to throw that in the honorable mention of one of the ones at SummerSlam I enjoyed.
It's too bad that Drew McIntyre is Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I don't see what the end game is there.
Holy cow. I mean, so he's never gonna get over, he's never gonna win a big match again. Like this is it. It's who he is, he's Dolph.
Yeah.
Come on.
Which is, again, it's a shame. It's you know, AEW was able to, part of it because of injuries with kind of giving Moxley that second, third, whatever opportunities with the AEW World Championship. But he was the world champion mostly during their pandemic era. And their women's champion, they're now giving her a second chance with fans in the stands. It's a shame they can't find a way to get Drew McIntyre that second opportunity since he did such a great job carrying them through a lot of the pandemic stuff, especially because Roman was gone for such a large chunk of it in the Thunderdome era. It's a shame they haven't been able to allow that to pay off. It's a bummer.
This has been fun. So much wrestling. So much wrestling. We got nostalgia acts like the Hardys and RVD. We got Broit says showing his true Cena sports entertainment colors because he just can't stand long time storytelling.
Can't wait till he shows up with the hat and the he's gonna have the armbands.
It's unbelievable.
Fruity Pebbles t-shirt.
What a show we've had.
Certainly been that. But we're continuing to build. So many other things to continue to keep an eye on. SmackDown tomorrow night, the build for All In and All Out in AEW. You know, the place to talk about it is right here next week on GKW.